Funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Streetwise Athlone.
In this series, we learn about the old and recent history of the streets of Athlone, hear the thoughts and memories of locals and tourists, and the changes we might see in the future.
Episode 41, Irishtown.
Historian Garrod O'Brien tells us about the history of the area.
Irishtown was the collective name given to an area which was located well outside the Dublin Gate on the eastern approach to Athlone. This was once the preserve of the native Irish, presumably many of them Irish-speaking, while the merchants and landlords lived within the safety of the town walls. After the houses in Bonavalley, Stanley Row and Anchor's Bower, the next houses one met were a row of terraced houses, many of them single-story dwellings, stretching in towards town. In general, the poorer houses were the ones further out the road. The places included in Irishtown were Brideswell Street, Finnerty's Row, Castle Main Street and Irishtown itself. There were several laneways off Irishtown also. Two led down to the river. One was known as Chapel Lane and the other was known as River Lane. Two further laneways led to Scotch Parade and English's Lane. In 1854, Brideswell Street had over 30 houses and Finnerty's Row had just 5. Brideswell Street took its name from a holy well dedicated to St. Bridget, which is located very close to the Shack pub. Finnerty's Row took its name from a landlord, Owen Finnerty. Next came Castlemaine Street, which was named in honour of Lord Castlemaine, who lived in Moydrum Castle, but who owned a number of the larger properties in this street. At the time of Griffith's valuation in 1854, there were almost 70 houses in Castlemaine Street. The largest landlords of properties in this street were the English family, and these properties were leased to tenants. Irishtown itself stretched from Castlemaine Street into Mardyke Street. At the time of Griffith's valuation, there were more than 110 houses in Irishtown, more than a third of which were owned by the English family. The English family lived at Scotch Parade, where Beaton's Fruit and Vegetable Market is today. The family were associated with both farming and auctioneering. One of the best known members of this family was the late N.W. Billy English, who lived from 1922 to 1978. Billy English was a noted local historian who wrote histories of both the Lochree Yacht Club and the Inland Waterways Association of Ireland. He was an expert on the history of Athlone and on the life of Oliver Goldsmith, and he was a founder member and honorary secretary of the Old Athlone Society and the editor of the Society's journal. His death at such an early age was greeted with profound sadness by all who knew him. The Old Athlone Society published a large hardback volume of essays in his memory. It was called Irish Midland Studies and was edited by Dr. Harmon Murtha. The Society also holds an annual Billy English Memorial Lecture. The Brawny Barracks, the RIC barracks for the east of Athlone, was located in Irishtown, as was the Petty Sessions Court. John Longworth was the landlord for both of these premises. The policemen from the Brawny Barracks only had jurisdiction to the centre of the town bridge. After that, it was the bailiwick of the RIC in the Fry Place Barracks. The RIC had its own lock-up facilities for the short-term jailing of prisoners. The RIC officers were generally despised locally as they were employed by the Crown. Irishtown was largely residential until the late 19th century or early 20th century. There were, of course, a few pubs to be found in the area. These included Sweeney's at the junction of Irishtown and Retreat Road, in a premises that was knocked down to widen the street. Other famous businesses in Irishtown in the past included Bill Cook's Bar and Grocery, which did a roaring trade, and some other bars of Irishtown in the past, which are still spoken of today, include Clunan's and Monica Coughlin's, which were side by side. A great many of the houses in Scotch Parade, St. Mary's Hill, Castlemaine Street, were knocked in the 1930s, with their people rehoused in Sarsfield Square and St. Patrick's Terrace. Chapel Lane, which was also known as Tinker's Lane, led down to the Penal Chapel in Irishtown, which was probably no larger than two modest thatched cottages joined together. This church served until 1790, when St. Mary's Church in Mardyke Street was built. Just beyond Chapel Lane, on the left-hand side as one approaches Sean Costello Street from Irishtown, is a group of two-storey houses known as Vico Cottages. One of these was, for some time, the residence of the Bishop of Ardagh and Clonmacnoise, Dr. Brady, who was bishop from 1758 to 1788. It was a modest residence for a bishop, but in the penal times, priests and bishops were very vulnerable and preferred to adopt a very low profile.
Benny tells us about a long-standing musical instrument shop in Upper Irishtown.
So the Sound Factory exists under my ownership for just under 20 years. Prior to that, there was a chap called Gordon Clark who called it Gordon Clark's Sound Factory. He was here about 15 years, so I suppose all told, it's here in the same premises for about 35 years. The most popular instruments now and then are probably the same, which is the acoustic guitar. Acoustic guitar is always the best-selling instrument in this shop, at least. But I suppose the decline in instruments selling would be the electric rock instruments, electric guitars, basses, and then we have drum kits, which are much slower as well compared to how they used to be. But then the acoustic guitars and the semi-acoustic guitars and ukuleles have become hugely, hugely popular over the last 8 or 10 years. It's great that it now is so popular because kids from maybe 4 years up to kind of 8, 9 years of age who are interested in playing an instrument, choices were always limited. But now, because the ukulele is cool and it's popular and it's out there and it's very manageable, there's only 4 strings, and the chord formations mean really you can only learn maybe 6, 7, 8 chords, but you can still play, you know, maybe 100 songs with those. I suppose coming out of what was a very unusual time, the 2 years of the pandemic, nobody seemed to be able to know for sure what the lay of the land was going to be with any retail, really. And certainly for us, I had a fairly pessimistic view of what it would be. We feared that a lot of people had developed habits now of buying everything online, and so we feared that that would continue and that the high street shops would be under renewed pressure from the online sites. Doesn't seem to have kind of worked out that way. I would say that here for the last year has been as busy as it has ever been. And in fact, there seems to be some level of resurgence from locals and a kind of a camaraderie and a feeling of let's support our local guys. So it hasn't leveled yet, or it hasn't settled into what way it's going to be for the foreseeable future just yet. But it seems to be settling okay, and I think far better than a lot of us would have expected.
I lived down there for 2 or 3 years. I think what I remember most about Irishtown, though, is the people down there, that they were really just down to earth and honest. And I just thought it was lovely that the way they were able to reach out and help me if I needed anything, you know. And for me, the people just couldn't have been nicer, you know.
And you never remember to see the cement blockades there in the street above there in Irishtown. To have them there during the war.
No, I don't remember that.
There was only one narrow pass in the middle of the car. You couldn't meet a car. They had to go easy in only one line of traffic. Oh. Traffic was very light that time. There was all ponies and cars and everything. The asses. Donkeys.
Donkeys, yeah.
Mm. We call them asses.
Flannery's Bar. And Flannery runs it with her dog Molly. But it's a lovely pub.
Streetwise Athlone. Historical research and presentation by Garrod O'Brien. Additional research by Damien McKellen. Interviews by Amanda Gunning, Ursula Ledwith, Mel Ray, and Erica Follows Smith. Editing by Kyle McKellen. Produced by Amanda Gunning. The additional contributor to this episode was Benny Dermody. Funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.